supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. Hey, it's August. Do you know where your vacation is? Most of Europe is shutting down for the summer holiday, but how many of us haven't even planned for our vacation yet or are taking less time than we are owed? And that's the majority of us. What makes us reluctant to unwind? Today's show is on work versus vacation. We'll talk with the founder of the organization, Take Back Your Time, and a work-life balance coach. But first, let's get some context from Dr. Seth Spain. He's an assistant professor of Organizational Behavior School of Management at Binghamton University, SUNY. By the way, our number is 888-477-9499. Again, that's 888-477-9499. Seth, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be with you today.
You've done a good deal of research. This was fascinating to me, about the personality characteristics that help people rise in an organization. You call it the dark triad.
Yes, that's correct. The dark triad consists of characteristics we call Machiavellianism, which is manipulativeness, narcissism, which is being arrogant, self-aggrandizing, self-promoting, and last of all, and possibly the most dangerous, and I think one of the ones that's very relevant, will be relevant for today's discussion, is psychopathy, a tendency to put yourself first, really only care about your own needs and desires, and really being quite willing to sacrifice other people's feelings for your own ends.
All right. Well, wait a minute now. I mean, listen, I could have a blast with that for the whole hour here. But you're not generalizing here, are you? Are you telling?
I don't want to. I wouldn't. Of course, I never want to overgeneralize. And one thing that I like to point out every time we talk about this, especially when we talk about career advancement, that these are characteristics that do seem to help people rise quickly in the ranks. I mean, for instance, like one way to think about this in sort of the less negative way is in terms of narcissism. One of its key areas is being self-promoting. And so it's kind of like the question of if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? It is if you do something that's very important for your company or your organization in general and nobody's around to, no one knows it, no one appreciates it, does it do you any good? So part of it is, you know, when you accomplish something, you know, taking reasonable actions to let people know. But, you know, what gets you there may not keep you there. And in fact, a lot of these things have long-term negative consequences.
I will bet. You were talking and my mind went blank. All I could think of is every human running for president right now. But we'll leave that on the table, and we'll come back to vacation. So
absolutely.
All right. So we do leave a lot of days on the table. So is it something about this management style, this dark triad, that causes us to do that? You know, an authoritarian boss who's impossible to please.
Well, I certainly think that some of these things having very, I think also it's worth thinking about sort of, you know, the economic environment that we're currently living in. A lot of people seem to be currently particularly afraid of upsetting even perhaps reasonable managers. But if you're particularly working for someone who manifests any of these characteristics, you might be very, very concerned, walking on eggshells around them, trying to make sure you're always putting in, you know, more FaceTime, making sure that they see you working, that they know that you're, a dependable go-to person.
So, I mean, this sounds much like I was when I was in school. Like, you know, when the teacher was around, I pretended to be working hard. Is that what it comes to here?
I think, I'm not sure that that's all there is to it. I think we've also, especially in the United States, as you pointed out in the lead, contrasting this with Europe, that we have a very industrious society. We value, work for its own sake, or at least historically, we valued work for its own sake very, very highly. So when you combine that with, again, a very tight labor market, very competitive position. People are often gunning competitively for positions that may not have even been incredibly desirable, say, 8 years ago.
I want to take a look at there's got to be more. And I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Yes, we've had this mentality since we were born as a country about the value of work. But this boss thing, I mean, our economy was pretty bad in the 30s. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, but I mean, I just can't imagine this mentality back there in the 30s. So there's got to be something in addition to that. I mean, we can look at technology, for example. Mm-hmm. That can give us the illusion of importance or the illusion of even connection. But, I'm just wondering how we got here.
That's how we got here is quite possibly a question for a historian. But I think the point about technology that you've mentioned is very important in a number of ways in which technology matters. First of all, it seems very, very hard for people to disconnect. One thing that happened recently to me is my smartphone took a bath. And it took me, because of how much I was working, it took me a while to get it replaced. And as a result, I was more disconnected. And after about a week of anxiety, then it actually became quite nice. But I felt like I was going to be missing more emails that I should be responding to immediately, those sorts of things. And I think that a lot of people seem to have there seems to be a two-sided relationship with technology. One, as I think you pointed out here, is it gives us this sort of illusion of social connectivity with other people. So it feels like, we can take a break relatively easily to connect with friends and family online. But on the other side of that, it means that we're often, especially for people with professional jobs, never completely disconnected from our work. The number of times when supposed days off that my wife spends time saying, I have some emails that I need to take care of and some other sorts of things that need to be done. I think it seems like that happens to an awful lot of people.
So is that coming from the workplace, from us, from both?
I think we have to think about how work is structured now. And I think, more and more even, I think when I first started working in organizational behavior, longer ago than I care to talk about now, we were just beginning to see the role that virtual work, virtual teams, technology. And we saw that people tended to be very, they would use those tools, but they were very dissatisfied with them. And as we've moved on, it's become more and more a part of just the culture of work. It's more normal, it's more expected. And people, I think we're seeing that people are, in a way, often probably working less intensely, but more longer, because we're all working, you know, often part-time, well, not all, but many people are working sort of part-time in an office setting, part-time from home, mm-hmm. all of these sorts of things, or the people are cobbling together lots of virtual jobs, freelancing sort of things in order to produce, single sort of income.
That's a change in the culture, and it's a change in the way we function. I want to take a minute and reintroduce you. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about work almost versus vacations, as though they're contradictory or conflicting. We're going to be talking with several people throughout the hour today, but now we're talking with Dr. Seth Spain. He's an assistant professor of organizational behavior. He's with the School of Management at Binghamton State University in New York in Binghamton. And how and why so many of us, take vacation and not at the same time. Our number is 888-477-9499. Again, that's 888-477-9499. Tell us what happens to the brain, the body that doesn't take vacation or not enough vacation.
Well, I think one thing that's very important to point out here is, as you already pointed out, you just pointed out that we are talking about this as if it's some sort of work versus vacation thing. But those two things, I think the research shows, probably shouldn't be in conflict. I think one of the most important things that happens from sustained work is that it's effortful, right? You have to maintain some level of attention on what you're doing, and that has a variety of negative consequences. I mean, for the work itself, one of the most important things, and one thing that, cognitive psychologists have known about for decades, is something that's called the vigilance decrement. Mm-hmm. Things like, it's something that, people like radar operators, air traffic controllers are trained very, very hard to prevent, is that, maintaining attention to any particular thing for a long time makes it harder and harder to tell when something's wrong. From a more general perspective, you can think about, if you've ever spent a long time writing any piece of material, that eventually you become so it becomes such a part of you that it becomes very, very hard to see what's wrong, and you really need a fresh set of eyes.
Well, you talked about attention fatigue, mm-hmm. and you get that no matter what you're doing, but there's also brain fatigue. Your brain gets tired, and you get much, much less productive.
Exactly. You get much less productive, and more importantly, that brain fatigue, leads to a fairly general decrease in self-regulatory ability. So that if you've spent all this time, pumping your energy into paying attention to your work, having that sort of constant low-level stress and attention gone, makes it harder to regulate yourself in other areas. So, maybe you're trying to maintain a very healthy diet, but after a hard day of work, that piece of chocolate cake is just too tempting to ignore, no matter how much you might prefer not to eat it. That these sorts of this self-regulation decrement, I think, is another thing to pay attention to when we're talking about.
Well, now that you mention that chocolate cake, it's midday, and I haven't worked that hard, but it still sounds pretty tempting. But that's another issue.
So those are the kinds of things that I think, the research evidence that's out there seems to indicate that In terms of, and as you're talking about with the brain fatigue and just the fact that you're, eventually your productivity, you know, no matter how much time you're putting into something, your actual productivity is going to slough off because you're more tired, more careless, more inattentive as time goes on, that, you know, you're going to see some at least diminishing returns, if not, you know, your actual product, you know, it's going to curve back over, and you might actually be doing more harm than good by continuing to work.
Let's see if we can squeeze a caller in here before we have to say goodbye to you, Seth. We've got Amy on the line. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi. What can we do for
you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm sorry, what?
Sure. Happy to take your call.
I was calling to comment. I'm an assistant professor at Arcadia University, a local university here in Philadelphia, and I feel added pressure to not take vacation or to demonstrate that I'm working during vacation in the summers because everybody thinks that we have 3 months off. When in fact we don't. I have lots of work I have to do over the summer, but, you know, even my family doesn't quite understand that. And I think that's an additional pressure that teachers or faculty members face.
Right, yeah, and definitely, especially, I think, even more so, or at least, you know, and I think at least the people I know have finally come to understand, like my family, who are generally have never, most of my family members have never been to college, let alone appreciate what a professor might do, have come to understand that actually summertime is the time where I do even more work, because that's when all of the research has to happen. Mm-hmm. But I think that for the most part, you're right. When people appear to have a period of time off, everybody thinks people can get act jealous of it. Mm-hmm. And so then you have, you know, as a teacher, you have to be like, well, there's so much course prep that I have to do, many other sorts education, all sorts of...
Wait a minute, you guys. You professor types. I'm a clinician. And here's the words I hear in this discussion. I feel like I have to. I feel like I should. And when I hear the word I feel like, we're usually talking about A, either an emotion, or B, a reaction to what you think other people are thinking. So
I completely agree.
I was looking forward to an argument.
Well, I agree as well. And I think one of the challenges, at least in higher education, we're getting so much pressure to be, and even in K-12 education, to be efficient and to demonstrate outcomes that I do think that lots of it is response to sort of external pressure, but, you know, that doesn't mean that vacations still aren't important. And so trying to articulate or justify taking those vacations, I think, has become harder in lots of ways.
It's heartbreaking that you have to justify taking a vacation. And I don't know, I'm going to challenge you. Do you really have to justify? Do you really have to explain it away to anybody? I mean, this is your time, it's your life, it's your body, and, you know, like, well, I mean, I don't want to push it too hard, but, you know, if I'm responding to what I think other people are thinking, my God, you know, I'm in the hell realm, and believe me, I visit there I'm an expert on living in the hell realm.
Well, I think that you've kind of caught what I see as being one of the most important things is, as you pointed out, vacation, this is your time, right? You're guaranteed it. You should be able to take it with no explanation and no, you know, no need for justification. But people feel societal pressure. They feel pressure from friends, family, and even though, you know, the pressure may be sometimes quite subtle, from their bosses, peers, and possibly even subordinates in organizations to justify this. And as the caller was pointing out, there is, you know, we're, because of like the complexities of our current economic system, people tend to be squeezed. You have to be more and more productive with fewer and fewer resources to compete often on costs in some way. Like she was pointing out with K-12 teachers or university professors or college teachers, what have you. There seems to be, you know, less and less and less funding available, while at the same time higher and higher expectations. So people feel this pressure, and especially when we live in a higher at will society, if you might have some concern, some fear that if you're not demonstrating that kind of productivity, that you could lose what precious resources you
personally
have.
Yeah, that's kind of how things started. Unfortunately, we have to take a break and say goodbye to you with all our gratitude.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I'll just sum up by saying I think vacations are very important and that organizations should promote them.
Yeah, for their own sakes, too.
Exactly. It's in their self-interest to do so.
Seth Spain, thank you so much for joining us and for the work
you do. Well, thank you for having me. Have a good day.
Seth Spain is an assistant professor of organizational behavior at State University of New York. When we come back, we're going to be talking with John DeGraff. He's president and co-founder of TakeBackYourTime.org. We're also going to be talking with Julie Cohen. She's a career and leadership coach, and she's been kind enough to join us here in this studio. Our phone number is 888-477-9499. Have you taken your vacation time? And can you take vacation without checking in with work over and over again? Again, that's 888-477-9499. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family. It's right here on WHYY-FM.
Intervention Associates, a subsidiary of Friends Life Care Partners, supports WHYY. A nonprofit, Quaker-based organization, Intervention Associates provides care management and guardianship services for people of all ages. Services include home care, community services, crisis intervention, and patient advocacy. Intervention Associates navigates all available healthcare options and medical benefits. Clients receive a professional needs assessment and detailed care plan. Information at interventionassociates.org.
Penn Medicine supports WHYY. Are you interested in long-term weight loss? Then you may be eligible for a research study offered by Penn's Center for Weight and Eating Disorders. This 16-month research study combines a behavioral weight loss program with an FDA-approved weight loss medication. More information on how you may be eligible to participate at 215-746-5030. 215-746-5030.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We are talking about work and vacations. Where is your vacation? Have you taken it? Is it still on the table? What are your plans? And will you take your work with you? We're joined now by John DeGraff. He's president and co-founder of TakeBackYourTime.org. He joins us on the phone. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be on your program.
And we've got Julie Cohen here. She's a career and leadership coach. Julie, it's so good to have you back.
It's great to be here, Dan.
John, first of all, how did you get into the business of taking vacations?
Well, I've always taken vacations. It's just been part of it from the time I was a kid. Even though my family didn't have much money, we always took those 2 weeks and went on some sort of small driving trip. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, so we would go to places like Yosemite and go camping and things. Yeah. And that really stuck with me. But my interest in being an activist around vacation time came much later. I made a film for PBS in 1994, National PBS, called Running Out of Time. It looked at how time-pressed and how overworked we Americans are in comparison to our counterparts in Europe. And I really learned then a lot about the differences. And some years later, with another group of people, in 2002, I started the organization Take Back Your Time to actually try to do something about this problem.
Yeah, you know, I was noodling around doing my research here and you know, looking up a lot of what you do for a living and what Julie does. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this business of vacation, you know, it's like the weather, you know? I mean, everybody talks about it and complains about it, but you know, what do you really do about it? It seems like it's got a life of its own.
Well, I think so. You know, and we just don't seem to recognize the importance of it in so many ways, the importance for health. I mean, we know, for example, from studies that if you don't take vacations, you're much more likely to have a heart attack. If you don't take vacations, you're much more likely to suffer from depression, many other factors, the impact it has on family bonding, the positive impact in that regard, on productivity and creativity. It's really a win-win, but we have this attitude that we're too tough, we're too macho, we don't need this kind of thing, we can kind of work all the time. And people in other countries really basically think we're nuts about this, but one of the issues is that...
Well, it sounds like a lot of people in this country think we're nuts about this also.
Well, I hope so. I hope they'll get behind the effort to change this.
Julie, do you see taking time off as a sign of weakness? Is that part of what's going on, that the American worker has that attitude, like John said?
I think there's a lot of different approaches to how people see vacation. I think some people may come from a place of fear. If I'm out of the office too much, might people see me as replaceable? If I'm away, am I going to be putting my colleagues under more pressure? Am I going to miss something? Is it going to impact my advancement? I think the other side is some people think, my work is too important. I need to be there at all times because I'm best at it. So there's a lot of different approaches.
I got to tell you, years ago, Julie and John, I called a local psychiatric hospital. I had to speak with the marketing director about something. And she said, she wasn't there, you've reached so-and-so, I'm not at my desk right now. But if it's an emergency, you can call my cell phone at this number. And I hung up and I thought, what the hell is a marketing emergency? You nick an artery, that's an emergency. But, you know, and that's kind of the mentality we have right now, that if we miss something, it's an emergency. John, go on.
Yeah, I wanted to say I think Julie's absolutely right that the biggest real issue is not, you know, this kind of cultural attitude about being tough. And I didn't mean to imply that. I think fear is of many things is the major reason why people are not taking vacations, whether it's that their work will pile up and they can't get it done, or that they will be replaceable and seen as such, or that they have managers who simply judge their loyalty by how much they're in the office, and especially in times when we've just seen major layoffs in a recession and so forth, I think that fear is even stronger.
Let's see if we can get a larger context. We've got Fran on the line. Hi, Fran.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can we do for you?
Well, I've been living in China for the last 3 years, and I'm in the process of moving to Cairo. I'm a teacher. And it really interested me what people outside of the United States feel about people in the United States. And it also interested me that there are many things in the U.S. that we don't understand about other countries and how they take care of themselves. So it comes down for me to an idea about boundaries. For instance, in China, as a teacher, I have to be at work by 8 o'clock. But at noon, there's a two-hour break. Children sleep. Teachers rest, and that's an acceptable and appropriate way to handle the school day. Now, it is also true that they go to school from August until the middle of July, but when you have a two-hour lunch break, many teachers bring their own beds, they sleep, they relax, and they take care of only themselves. I fear that if this happened in the United States, we'd all be running around taking meetings and calling our dentist and going to the bank. We need to remember our boundaries in the U.S.
That's such a good and important point. So in China, there's essentially a Chinese version of a siesta there.
Exactly. And it makes a great deal of sense. Chinese people are very hard workers. And they, for instance, they have vacation time scheduled and they will take it. But they're also very careful about that cell phone. You know, the boss can't call. and ask questions.
Isn't that interesting? Fran,
I'd be really curious to see what it's like in Cairo, but I'm working at a British school, and I can feel the Western influence already. I know that lunchtime is down to 20 minutes. And that's not even helpful for any human being, children or adults, to sit and woof down a meal in 20 minutes and get back to work.
Well,
we don't need to slow down.
I've got a shameful confession here. Now, Voices in the Family is a mental health show. The host is a mental health professional. Our production meeting is from 11:30 till 12. That's a half hour when we work on this show and future shows. At the same time, we eat lunch. I doubt that anyone even tastes their food. And we have no time to hang out and ask, how was your weekend? Even if we don't care, we don't even have a chance to ask. So that's this mental health call-in show. And, we
need to do better.
Yeah, we do.
We need to start with self-care and then remember that a job is a job and a cell phone is for calling. Let's put it away at dinner time. Let's enjoy our family. Let's take the little mini vacations during the day that are available to us. And take the full amount of vacation that's allowed during the year to renew ourselves so that we're good at our jobs.
Yes, ma'am. Fran, thanks so much for your call, and best of luck in Cairo.
Thank you very much.
Please take care of yourself.
It will be easy to do.
So, what is that? What is that, even at Voices here? I'm not alone. We rush through lunch. We don't taste our food. We work while we're eating. Whoever heard of these days taking an hour off for lunch and doing nothing?
So, Dan,
that's a good question.
Julie?
So, as a coach, when I heard what you just shared about what happens here, my question for you is, what would it take to do something different? What might be a preferred way to look at just this small component of, of having lunch and being able to focus on lunch and then focus on work. And, as you answer that question, that can be the same question that individuals need to think about, is how am I going to manage my vacation? Your previous speaker, our previous guest, talked about having to justify vacation. When I heard that, to me, I wanted to change the conversation to how do we manage integrating vacation as a critical part of our overall professional effectiveness.
I want to look at the big picture. I'm going to turn this to you, John. For most of our workforce, taking vacation is really not in our control. Our economy is based on high power, what some people call toxic capitalism. More work, more productivity, more income for investors in the company, the circle of life here. How much control do we have?
I think that's absolutely right. I think that's absolutely right. I think these are really primarily institutional issues that need to be solved very importantly at that level. We also need to encourage people to take their time when they have it, and people need to remember to do that, and managers need to understand that it is actually in the best interest of the company that workers do take the time off. They will be healthier, more refreshed, more less likely to turn over, and so forth. But we've got an institutional problem in this country. We are one of only basically five nations in the entire world that does not require vacations by law in any sense. The other four are tiny. They're Nepal, Burma, Guyana, and Suriname. Every other country in the world at least gives people some time off by law. And that may not seem like much because, 75% of Americans do get vacation time, 25% don't, but it sends a signal to all of us that our country doesn't believe it's very important. We legislate all kinds of things that don't have anywhere near the impact on our lives as having that time off and that vacation time. So I think we need to send that signal. I'm glad to see that Senator Sanders, for example, has proposed a two-week vacation for Americans. And I also think we just really need to understand who most suffers from this, and that's the people on the bottom, the people who are the poorest, who are in the minimum wage.
Sure.
They're the least likely to get time off. They often go putting several jobs together, none of which have time.
Well, and
as a nation, this is shameful.
And they're the least likely to be heard. We know that in this culture. Julie, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, so I see this as an issue that is going to have to change. I work a lot with 30-something professionals, and their expectations are very different. And they're going into organizations with expectations that they're going to have more autonomy, that they're going to have more flexibility, and that they're going to work hard. And they want to be able to experience and enjoy, you know, whatever life outside of work looks like to them. And so as this new generation of leaders is rising, organizations are going to have to make changes if they want to retain top talent, because there are some companies who are doing things that enable, you know, vacation to at least be honored in some capacity.
Yeah. And John, let me just ask you this before we have to say goodbye to you. Do you, off the top of your head, know which companies are really good at understanding the importance of vacation? Google, for example, has a good reputation.
Yeah, well, there really are a lot of them, and I want to make that clear, that there are enlightened companies in this country who clearly get it. There's a lot more than I can name. I'm certainly familiar. We had a conference on vacation time in New York just recently. The HR director of GoDaddy was there. They start out with 3 weeks. They get 4 weeks after 2 years. And I believe they go up to 6 weeks after 5 years. So that's a really excellent policy. And they do that to attract exactly these millennial workers that Julie was talking about. Other companies, some give unlimited time. That's sometimes works. It works better if you also have a minimum that people need to take. There are companies like Full Contact in Colorado, which actually pay workers, Full Contact, $7,500. They pay workers to take their vacation time. Evernote, another company in the Boston area, pays $1,000. So some companies are really starting to get this, and I think that's a positive sign.
That's great. I can see thousands of listeners now writing down every company you just mentioned and racing for their computer. Like I said, unfortunately, John, we have to say goodbye to you. Julie, you'll hang around with us?
Sure will.
John DeGraff is president and co-founder of TakeBackYourTime.org. Check it out. It's really an interesting webpage. John, thanks so much, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
We're going to take a 60-second break. When we get back, we're going to speak with Julie about how actually to do these things. And we want to hear from you. Our number is 888-477-9499. Do you leave vacation time on the table? And do you want to change that? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family. It's right here on WHYY-FM.
Supporting WHYY, Devereaux, one of the leaders in behavioral health care, helps to provide care for children and adolescents with mental health challenges, as well as individuals of all ages living with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Across its national network, Devereaux helps provide meaningful care to individuals and families where they need it most. Whether it be through community and educational programs, employment services, foster care assistance, or individual or group living support. Learn more at Devereaux.org.
Eastern University supports WHYY. The College of Business and Leadership programs educate and empower students to lead in the global marketplace, offering MBA programs including management and health administration, as well as both a master's and PhD in organization leadership. Eastern believes the world responds to those who believe and do. Their programs are designed to empower students to develop skills that impact the world around them. Eastern.edu/CBL. Eastern University. Don't just be, do, and wake up the world.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We are still here with Julie Cohen. She is a career and leadership coach. I liked what you said at the end about things seem to be changing with the 37-year-olds you're working with. On the other hand, you know, this is the generation that grew up connected to the internet. They were kind of born into it. So when you say vacation, the first thing I wonder is about those boundaries and what vacation really means.
Well, and I think vacation is very personal. It's what it means to you. And I think the critical piece is for the individual to assess what refreshes them, what re-energizes them, what re-engages them so they can take time away and come back. And it's going to look different for each person. I think the challenge is assuming it's a one-size-fits-all, that vacation must be completely disconnected. For some, that will cause more stress. So we don't want to put someone into another stressful situation by saying, you must vacation this way.
Right, and the you musts don't really work so well. Let's. We've got a lot of people who want to join the conversation. Let's go right to the phones. We've got Ben on the line. Ben from Philadelphia. Hi, Ben. Do we have Ben up yet? Okay. We'll double back and we'll have Ben up in a minute. We heard about the cultural issues, Julie. How do you change a culture? And I want to go all the way back to Seth Spain, and he talked about the dark, triad of leaders, and there really are some cultures, where the leader is kind of a micromanager. He just cares about the product, the outcome, and not the people. How do you change a culture?
Well, that's a very big question. I think from a more micro standpoint, I think you need to look at how managers are viewing vacation and what they're doing, with their team, with their direct reports, to either make vacation something that feels like it's acceptable, or are they being negative about vacation? And so that message needs to come top down. So, the organizational leaders need to understand the importance of vacation and encourage through implementing, guidelines on how we encourage people to take vacation. And that can mean something as simple as, while you're on vacation, bosses should not be emailing their direct reports with work.
How do you communicate that? How do you make that happen?
Well, again, I think that needs to come from organizations setting up policies and getting buy-in so they understand what the value of vacation is. And it can also be when other people are on vacation. If I'm at work and I see, people getting overwhelmed taking on other people's work while they're on vacation, it's going to make me feel maybe I shouldn't go away. So it's really understanding that vacation is a benefit. It makes us all better, all more creative, all, enabled to come back and do our job well.
I feel relieved when you say vacation's not a one-size-fits-all. I decided years ago, having grown up at the shore and missing my summers at the shore since I was 18 years old, I decided, 10 years ago, more 15 now, no matter what, I was going to take a month off. And at the time, hung out with my dad for a month. And turns out, he and I had a ball, and it was the last month he had died 3 months later, and I was so glad it happened. And I've decided since then that I'm just going to take the month of August off. However, I do come back on Sundays, and, I do my radio show on Mondays, and I do that because people have threatened me here that they're going to put me in little NPR host prison if I miss too many shows. But that's my vacation, and it's restful, and I enjoy it, and I love it.
And I bet that makes you – it enables you to come back and be more creative and more focused and continue at the pace that you do.
Right. Right, and I'm able to stay awake for the bulk of the day. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jacqueline on the line. Hi, Jacqueline. Jacqueline, do we have you?
I'm here.
Oh, Jacqueline. We didn't even put up annoying music for you to walk away from.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We love you anyway. Go on. What were you going to say?
I was going to say I had a great job my whole life, and we were always allowed to take our vacation in days or weeks, whenever we wanted. we could go into the office and find out what we had left for the year. The thing is, I haven't had a real vacation since 1992, and that's because I always used my vacation time for the things that I needed to do, like take care of a sick person in the family or work around the house. And actually, when you get down to it, my whole life has been a vacation because I had a job I really liked. So I'm definitely coming from a different place than most of your callers.
Julie?
Well, Jacqueline gives a perfect example that, you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all approach to this. And she's able to find, you know, positives in, you know, a situation where it sounds like, you know, she's made choices to use her downtime for other things. And so, you know, where I would go back is it, how are you? How is it enhancing your energy? How is it enabling you to continue to do your job well? And if it's working, great. Don't fix it. If it's broken, we need to look at what are some different ways that you can make sure some of those days you take off are really about rejuvenating and refreshing you.
Jacqueline, thanks so much for your call and giving us that perspective. Julie, there's one thing that concerns me as a clinician is that so many of us, you know, you say if it works for you, so many of us aren't in touch with our bodies or our minds that, you know, we live with stress. We've accommodated stress. We almost don't know when we're tired anymore.
And I see that. I see that even with myself, but I see that with many clients. And sometimes it takes being, you know, almost rigid and deliberate and saying, you know I need vacation. That first day away for many of us, it feels very uncomfortable. And over a period of time, I know for me, the first 1 or 2 days of vacation, it feels like there's something missing. I'm still operating at a very intense pace. But when I hit that second, third day, I start to feel the benefit and, you know, really feel like I'm getting more clear, more rested, sleeping better. And so sometimes we need to know some things that are important to us and make an effort to, you know, experiment with that behavior and pay attention to the benefits.
It's like withdrawal.
I would say 100%, especially around the intensity with technology. For most of us, you know, if we're constantly, you know, checking our smartphones and, you know, responding to emails and phone calls, you know, that creates, you know, adrenaline and intensity. And when we pull back, you know, there feels like there's something missing.
Yeah, and, you know, we touched on this early in the show. And we've got, you know, one of our callers wants to comment on European employees and you know, these other companies that John DeGraff mentioned. People are more productive. They do better for their company when they take time off and probably value their company more because of.
Yeah, and I think it creates some loyalty. And again, I think, as I said, you know, with the 30-something professional, the newer generation of leaders, there's going to be an expectation. And if it's not there, it's going to have, you know, organizational impact.
Yeah. I almost hate to use this phrase, but I know it's one of yours, work-life balance. And is there really such a thing? I mean, isn't that always a moving target here?
Yeah, the phrase work-life balance definitely gets a lot of flack. You know, over the last 10 years, the term has evolved. To me, what it represents is the individual's choice of how they want to live their life and how they want to integrate all their other preferences within their choices. So you may call it work-life balance, or people call it work-life integration. To me, it's about designing, you know, your choices on how you want to work, how you want that work to fit together, and what your values are, and are you making choices that support those values in the way you want to work and live?
I just have to acknowledge over and over and over again how few people really have that option and how many don't have that option. That this kind of struggle in many cases is a luxury.
Well, because sometimes their value is, you know, just being able to, you know, make sure there's food on the table. And so they do have to often make sacrifices. And, you know, then they need to look at, are there things they can do in smaller increments to help them, you know, manage and sustain at the kind of intensity they may be working.
Let's see if we have time to take one caller before we have to say goodbye. Joseph? Do we have Joseph?
Taking my call.
Sure. Go on. What can we do for you?
Yes. So I wanted to just quickly mention, I work for a large consulting firm, and in one of our annual meetings, you know, I actually brought up that Ernst & Young did a study that showed that employees who don't take vacation actually perform considerably worse than employees who do take vacation. And also just real quickly, a new thing that at least my company does is allows you to take vacation in hourly increments, which is sometimes good because, you know, you just want to get out for a few hours and enjoy yourself or run errands. It's kind of, you know, it just allows you to have the freedom to do that without taking your full day off and feeling guilty about it.
That's really interesting and creative. What's the name of your company?
So I work for Accenture.
Okay. Just wanted to give them
which is like a large impersonal firm, but it's very personal in the sense that, you know, we were told repeatedly about a work-life balance, and it is very important, you know, because we're told to work really hard. We're also told to take off really hard as well. And if we don't take off, we can't work hard. It's kind of it is true. It's kind of those terms, work-life balance.
Yeah.
But bottom line, it does work.
Thanks so much for your call. I love that idea. I never heard it before, but taking time in hours, that's great.
So that's giving the individual more choice. You know, some people would love that, and some people would dread that. Then I'm going to just run to the dry cleaner, and that's not vacation. So you know, Accenture, who is, you know, it sounds like they're creating not, you know, policies that can fit multiple people that will provide, you know, something for everyone.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. And I want to thank you. It's wonderful seeing you again and hearing your wisdom. Earlier on, we heard from Dr. Seth Spain and John DeGraff of TakeBackYourTime.org. Julie Cohen is a career and leadership coach. Before we go, I want to invite you to a very special event. It's the 30th anniversary of Voices in the Family. Yeah, I've been here for 3 decades. I started right after my bar mitzvah. And we're going to be getting together for live taping of our show at noon on September 8th. I would love you to come. More information on whyy.org/events. But please put it on your calendar and come out and hang out with me for an afternoon. Well, you can follow us on Twitter with Voices in the Fam. Email us at voices@whyy.org. And I'm at drdangottlieb.com. The engineer for today's show has been Diana Martinez. Elizabeth Perez-Luna is our executive producer of audio content. Leah Kaufman is our intern. Keith Irwin helped us today. Larry produces the show. I'm out of here.